You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
The issue on the table. France is on the verge of war with England. Now, do we provide aid and troops to our French allies, or do we stay out of it? Remember, my decision on this matter is not subject to congressional approval. The only person you have to convince is me. Secretary Jefferson, you have the floor, sir.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham, where we are going track by track through the original cast album of Hamilton, an American musical. This week it's Cabinet Battle Number 2, in which I'm starting to think that Hamilton and Jefferson don't get along. I'm Monty Ashley.
And I'm David Sparks.
This is the second track that's in the form of a rap battle, in which Hamilton and Jefferson both, in theory, present their cases on why Washington should listen to them instead of the other guy, who is a total jerk and should never be listened to in any situation. My favorite thing about it is that Hamilton doesn't even get to finish what I'm sure would have been a great, great argument.
It's because he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to, but the guy really likes to talk, and you know that he had pages and pages more, like he was going to do a whole skit with King Louis's head, and we never get to see it.
Yeah, we don't, but he wins, and that's all that matters. I think the argument is that he won that one before he even showed up in the room.
Yeah, Jefferson certainly thought so. The historical Jefferson, in his memoirs, in one of the few nice things he said about Hamilton, described when he got to that actual cabinet meeting, the questions were in Washington's handwriting, but they were so clearly slanted that they had Hamilton's genius behind them. I've always enjoyed that.
Although I'm not sure if he would have ever stated that publicly.
Well, he'd say it publicly eventually after Hamilton was dead.
Yeah.
Washington is also in this, in theory, being the adjudicator, but clearly on Hamilton's side.
Yeah, I always felt like, you know, Washington and Hamilton really experienced the Revolutionary War. I mean, they were in the trenches. And one of the things I always had trouble with Jefferson is he really didn't. I mean, if you I read a couple biographies of Jefferson, and none of them treated him very well in terms of, you know, the traditional notions of valor.
You know,
when the British showed up at Monticello, he went up into the hills. You know, he got the heck out of there, which maybe I would have done too, in complete honesty.
Yeah.
But you know, the guy who hadn't really got bloodied was the one who wanted to just get into another war. And I feel like the part of this was Washington and Hamilton had that common experience, and they didn't want to go there again.
Absolutely. Although, of course, towards the end of the war, they also fell out because no one could put up with Hamilton for too long. I'm in the middle of a Jefferson biography that's 100% pro-Jefferson in every way, which makes a really fun contrast. I haven't gotten to this argument yet, but at every point where Jefferson clashes with Hamilton in the biography I'm reading, it's, and then the noble Jefferson again had to deal with the evil royalist Hamilton's scheming.
Which one are you reading?
I can't remember its name. I'll give you it in a second.
Yeah. Because I read one a couple years ago, and I think it was relatively new at the time. Before this show, I started looking. I've given the book away, and I was looking online. I can't remember which one I read, but it was written relatively neutrally. In fact, if I could just go back a little bit, I haven't been on any Pod for Hams before. My obsession with Alexander Hamilton started in the 80s because I was going through school. I was a political science major, and they had a political philosophy like subcategory. And I started reading about this guy, and I thought he was so interesting because he wasn't rich and he had to actually practice law to pay the bills. And I grew up traditionally quite liberal. I mean, I came from a very liberal upbringing. My parents were, you know, very big Democrats, you know, and I was liberal. I've remained liberal all the time. But this one guy who was kind of, I felt like the Republican of his times.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but just like him and really associate with him. And I always thought Jefferson would be the one that I would, you know, if I was going to take a side, right? And
yeah, everybody always, before Hamilton came out, the traditional view of Jefferson was, you know, 6 foot, red-haired, genius, played violin, invented things, gentleman farmer.
Yeah, but you know, that's not really, if you, even before Hamilton came out, if you, you know, started reading into it, you know, I kind of felt like Hamilton was more practical than, and what we needed at the time. So, oh, yeah. So I was obsessed with them. My wife and I were dating at the time, and she's like, I don't understand why you keep reading these books about this guy. You know, he wasn't even the president. And then when the musical came out, my wife got into it before I did. And she's like, now I understand.
The Jefferson book I'm reading is Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power.
I was looking at that. That's not the one I read, but I was looking into that one. So back to Cabinet Battle number two.
Yes. Madison is in it, barely. He's kind of serving as Jefferson's hype man, but just as the worst hype man ever. I'm a big fan of the way he just says, France.
You know, it's funny because when I listen to the track, because I listened to this many times, and
yeah.
I always assumed that was Lin-Manuel, that was Hamilton saying France, that like he was forcing his opponent to admit that. And not until I went and read the lyrics did I realize that it wasn't Hamilton that said it, it was Madison.
That would be an interesting angle to force the other guy to participate.
Yeah, you know, get him to agree with me on this.
Seems risky. I don't know if you want to give Hamilton the microphone until you absolutely have
true.
To.
That's true. But yeah, so he plays a small role in it, but Washington lets Jefferson run, and he does.
Jefferson does have what I think is one of the worst rhymes in the entire musical. Preface this by saying it's a very well-written musical. There's a lot of really good fancy rhymes, but just as with Cole Porter, Lin-Manuel Miranda's cleverness sometimes, I think, might get ahead of him. And I am not a fan of rhyming tyranny with is here and he. And I feel like David Diggs doesn't really sell that rhyme at all, but I've convinced myself that this is on purpose, that it shows Jefferson trying too hard.
Yeah.
Because when you get to Hamilton's verse and it's all meddling in the middle of a military mess, that's perfect alliteration, perfect scans.
Well, I mean, historically, Hamilton was a much better rapper than Jefferson.
Oh, well, absolutely.
If the books are to be believed.
People say Cool Moe Dee invented battle raps, but it was really Alexander Hamilton. I threw that in for rap fans. I do know something about rap. We get some complaints.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to make that argument with. In fact, that's the thing that kept me away from Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because I thought I wouldn't enjoy it because I don't listen to much rap music, but the density of the lyrics, once I got into it, I was completely sold. In fact, one of the things I like about this, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but is the profanity, you know, when Hamilton loses his cool in Rap Battle number two and he comes in, he starts out angry. I like that.
He starts out angry, but he pulls it together by the end of the first line. He's back on the beat and rhyming.
The argument that Jefferson made about, you know, loyalty towards France. I mean, it has a certain draw to it. I mean,
oh, he's not wrong. We did sign a treaty and then they were in a war with England. You'd think that's the sort of thing the U.S. would want to help out in.
But historically, it's not as simple as that because France kind of started that war with England. I mean, they, to a certain extent, they were aggressors. And the mutual defense treaty, there's a really good, if you got, you know, legal on it, that you would say, well, we're not supposed to go help you out when you start a war. And as we'll get into with Hamilton's lyrics, the person who entered the treaty wasn't no longer in charge.
And for that matter, when Jefferson later on says, well, remember Lafayette? We should be on the side of Lafayette. Well, France wasn't on the side of Lafayette anymore at this point.
Yeah, the side that we were going to join had thrown Lafayette in prison. So murdered some of his family, if memory serves.
Yep.
Lafayette's a really interesting angle for this whole discussion. I mean, one of the things, because I didn't know what happened to Lafayette, and listening to this track got me curious. Well, what did happen to Lafayette? So I went and looked it up, and several members of his family were murdered. He was definitely a royalist. He had encouraged King Louis to leave the country, and they ignored him, and that didn't work out so well. And Lafayette got thrown in prison. His son, George Washington Lafayette, pretty interesting name, got sent to America and lived with Alexander Hamilton and George Washington. I mean, so, you know, when you say, when Jefferson's throwing this out, I mean, I feel like it's really mocking at Hamilton when he makes that line.
Yeah. So the whole thing is in the structure of a battle rap, and I'm just going to briefly go into the history of battle raps really quick. originally, rap battles were just which rapper can hype the crowd up more. So I'd come out and do my, woo, hands in the air, everybody in the place to be, say ho. And then you do the same thing, and then the audience would decide who won. The clear best guy at the time, when battle raps changed forever, was Busy B. Starsky, which is a fun name to say. But one day he was in a battle rap against a guy named Kool Moe Dee, who I'm a big fan of, and Kool Moe Dee came up after Busy B did his thing and invented the kind of rap we see in the cabinet battles where instead of talking to the crowd, you just eviscerate your opponent. And it's amazing to listen to. It's actually on YouTube because somebody had the sense to be recording it. I mean, the video isn't, but the audio is.
Yeah.
And you can hear Busy B in the background yelling, shut up! Like, his feelings are getting hurt. And by the end of it, everybody in the room realizes, oh, that's what we have to be doing from now on. And I feel like that kind of takes place in the two cabinet battles where should we be rapping about the issues or should I be rapping about my opponent? And Jefferson in cabinet battle number two is mostly just talking about Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's like, he dresses like fake royalty. He's nouveau riche. He's not one of us.
That line struck me. I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. Did Hamilton overdress? Because in the musical, I haven't seen it yet, sadly, but every image I see, the one who's always overdressed is Jefferson. I mean, he's got like purple or bright colors on. I don't really understand that line.
I think Hamilton did try a little hard because of where he came from. I mean, obviously, from where we are now, we couldn't tell the difference because they all have powdered wigs and buckles on their shoes and look identical. But my impression is that Jefferson dressed that way naturally and could tell that Hamilton was trying too hard.
And also, I do think that that was constantly a thing with Hamilton. I mean, reading the books on Hamilton and Jefferson, I mean, back then class was a real thing. And yeah, ironic, the guy who wrote All Men Are Created Equal, but I mean, he did not view Hamilton as at his level because he was not landed gentry. I mean, he was an upstart.
Yeah. He was a orphan son of a something something.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't agree with him on top of all. He had the audacity not to agree with him. It is interesting, you know, looking at Jefferson's half of the rap battle, though, is they do portray him very principled to his ideals, and he believes strongly in his argument, which I think that is, I mean, you're reading the books on Jefferson now, but I do feel that he was very loyal to what he thought was right.
Yeah, and of course, in Jefferson's mind, it was a simple decision, England or France. Me, Jefferson, I like France. They helped us out in the revolution. You, Hamilton, the traitor, you like England. We hate England, Hamilton. What's wrong with you?
And the complaints at the time that, you know, Hamilton was kind of a royalist to a certain degree. I mean, if you look at his constitution proposal.
Yeah.
I mean, basically wanted to create a king, you know. And,
I mean, yes, but he backed off that, like.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that was his gut, you know, that and maybe that's what we needed. I don't know. I mean, not that we needed a king, but I mean, the idea of, you know, of working on financially putting the colonies on stable ground and staying out of wars. I think that there was a lot of merit to what he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
But they are very different people. And one of them was raised essentially in the slums and one of them was raised, you know, with the silver spoon. And the one in the slums was the one that knew how bad things can get.
Yeah. I will say one more thing in Jefferson's defense. His line, I'll remind you that he is not Secretary of State. That's really, really relevant.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Only one of these guys should actually have a vote here.
Yeah, it's not his job.
So then we get to Hamilton's side of the rap battle, and he does not even mention Jefferson except for the part about being out of his goddamn mind.
Yeah, boy, in the way that Lin-Manuel delivers that line, it's great. It's great delivery.
It's possible that before Washington cut him off, he was going to start making fun of Jefferson.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
I'm sure he had a few zingers in there.
Well, in cabinet battle number one, he had to be cut off just as he was going in on Jefferson and Madison.
Yeah, that's true. The I really like the syncopation and the delivery of these lines. And as somebody who's an outsider to rap music, because I haven't really followed it very closely. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, Fresh Prince kind of rap music, right? I mean, coming into this, I love like 1950s bebop jazz. I love syncopation and jazz rhythm and stuff like that. And rap has really progressed in the way Hamilton's lines are delivered. There's a lot of syncopation in this, and I really enjoy that.
Absolutely.
The argument itself is one of practicality. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a legal technicality. You know, but boy, he delivers it with so much zest, and I love all the lines about that. You know, it heads in a basket. Why don't we take it out and ask it? I mean, that's awesome.
Which actually, interestingly enough, mirrors my least favorite Sondheim rhyme.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Into the Woods. I sort of hate to ask it, but do you have a basket? Man, that's terrible, Sondheim. What are you doing? It's much better here.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have a king's head, it just makes it more fun. I want to fill in one point on Hamilton. I did that thing. You know, I didn't want to show up unprepared here. So I went to genius.com and looked through some of the lyrics. Did you know that I'm Super Dead may be a testament to a podcast?
Which podcast? Is it My Brother, My Brother and Me?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that sounds like My Brother, My Brother and Me. Certainly, the unless is explicitly My Brother or My Brother and Me.
Yeah, well, there's a tweet, Radford Latham saying, do whatever you want, I'm Super Dead. And then Lin-Manuel tweets back, this is arguably homage to the podcast. It's definitely informed by hours of me listening.
One thing I really like about Lin-Manuel Miranda is that that dude is a huge nerd.
Yeah.
Like, between In the Heights and Hamilton, one of the things he did was record a track for My Brother, My Brother and Me. They had been talking about Torsi, a ghost horse that was just a torso.
Okay.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote an entire parody of Fugue for Tin Horns from the beginning of Guys and Dolls in three-part harmony for the brothers to sing. And like the week before the Grammys, he appeared on a podcast called Still Buffering. Like, he genuinely likes podcasts, and he likes My Brother, My Brother and Me. And I like that because I also like that podcast.
And as a podcaster, I got to call props for that.
Yeah.
So Washington cuts him off.
Yeah. We get through the actual cabinet battle. Washington says, enough. Just both of you shut up, basically. And the reason he says we're not going to participate is we're too fragile, which I think is a much better reason. Like, this country is just getting started.
Yeah.
The army we have just survived fighting England barely. Do we really want to send them over to Europe and do it again?
You know, it's funny. You know, I think, was it Kissinger that said countries have interests and not allies or something? I forget the exact quote, but I always felt like, you know, looking back, America owes its existence to France.
Oh, absolutely.
At the time, it was strategically beneficial to France to create this mess over in the colonies, you know, to be involved with it. And you know, it cost them lives and money, but it served a strategic interest to them. And Americans will say, well, we returned the favor in World War II, but at the time it served strategic interest for us to be involved. I mean, we didn't jump over there the moment France got invaded. We jumped in the moment we got invaded.
Yeah.
So you know, I always wonder, you know, how loyal countries are to these treaties.
We returned the favor over 150 years later.
Yeah. When it makes sense to us. And we would have done it anyway. But, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, France did this thing in the colonies simply because they had this great feeling for freedom and liberty. It was served their interests at the time.
We don't have, at this point in our history, we didn't have permanent allies and enemies. France did. They'd been fighting England for centuries.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to fight against England, France is on your side.
Yeah. And it was the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yep. One line I have always gotten wrong until today when I looked at every word is Washington's line, draft a statement of neutrality. I have always heard that as drop the statement of neutrality.
Oh, really? I got that one right. I got that
it, one. In my head, it sounded so great. Hamilton, drop the statement of neutrality. Boom.
I think I like it better, Monty.
Yeah. Me too, because I thought of it.
I think one of the things that Washington makes reference to that they don't really address. I mean, Jefferson's argument's fun to poke holes in it, right? Because we know he's going to lose the argument. But
yep.
But Washington's, you know, makes a statement. And we don't even know who's in charge over there. You know, how can we ally ourselves where we don't even know who's in charge?
Yeah, if we send armies over and they're working for Robespierre, I don't know that that's a great idea.
Yeah, and if you look at like contemporary literature at the time, the French Revolution caused ripples in a lot of ways because people were completely freaked out by it. I mean, the American Revolution was us throwing off the British, throwing off the British and the colony taking ownership of itself. But the French Revolution, you know, was murderous. And
yeah.
It was a world where there was a ruling elite in most of these countries. And the thought of it just terrified them.
And our revolution was just, we're in charge of ourselves. But really, it's still the landed gentry. It's still the people who were the governors are now governors in America.
Yeah.
There, it was the royals are out entirely. And wild-eyed, foaming-at-the-mouth peasants are in charge.
Yes. And I don't pretend to be a Jefferson expert, but I've always had trouble understanding, because Jefferson seemed pretty okay with anarchy. I mean, there's lots of quotes about him talking about, I think, the tree of democracy is fed with the blood of tyrants. And I don't remember the exact quote, but it seemed like he was okay with turning things upside down once in a while, but he was always the landed gentry. I don't know if he ever really fully appreciated what that would mean for him.
Well, yeah, he wanted the foolish people turned out and rule by the enlightened, which includes Jefferson.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work that way, buddy.
Yep.
Lafayette's a good example. You know, Lafayette, you know, I think, anyway, he did not fare that well through the French Revolution. I don't know what the ultimate, I guess he got out of prison eventually, but I don't know. I would assume that was basically the end of his public life.
I am not sure. I want to say he came to America. He should have. We liked him here.
Yeah.
And his son was here.
And that is interesting, the whole Lafayette thing where, you know, after Washington, and this is another thing I learned studying for the podcast, not having seen it, is Washington leaves the room. You know, Washington says, okay, Hamilton wins. You know, Hamilton draft a statement of neutrality. He then, as they stage it, he leaves the room. And then Jefferson twists the knife. Hey, what about your pal Lafayette? You're just leaving him over there, you know.
That's a good line. But then Jefferson screws up with, I bet you were quite a lawyer. And Hamilton just can just kind of shrug. My defendants got acquitted. What, you mad at me for being smart? Sorry.
Cleverness. And then he ends it with the line, Daddy's calling.
Oh, my.
That one, I sat down and made notes on that line because it seems to me that there's this daddy thing with Hamilton and Washington that runs the whole musical.
Yeah. There were people at the time who said that Washington was secretly literally Hamilton's father.
I'd never heard that before.
Which does not hold up at all. But no,
it doesn't make any sense.
You don't have great research capabilities at the time, right?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't hold up at all that still has a lot of merit.
That is true.
Or has a lot of oxygen behind it, at least.
Yeah. If all you know is Hamilton picks fights with everybody. He's a crazy jerk, but Washington sure helps him out and supports him a lot. And no one knows who young Hamilton's father is. Yeah, you just jump to it and print it in your broadsheet and hope people repeat it.
I mean, somebody who knows he grew up a bastard, you know, making reference to his daddy and Hamilton. I guess now I'm kind of living within the musical itself. Mm-hmm. Hamilton's issue with Washington calling him son.
Mm-hmm.
This line is, boy, it's two words, but it carries a lot if you think about it.
It does. I think we have to stop that discussion before we flow into the next track. Do you have anything else to say on this one?
One of my favorite tracks. I know it's short, and Hamilton puts him in his place so quickly. and honestly, this was one of the major issues of the time. I mean, much more relevant than Hamilton's, you know, affair was, will this nation survive? And getting itself involved in that war could very well have spelled the end for us. And they handled it quite nicely in this little rap battle. It doesn't get the amount of time in proportion to its relevance of the time, but I think it's done really well.
I'm a big fan of this track. I think it might be the peak of Hamilton's career as presented in the musical.
Yeah.
Because shortly after, he wins this easily, but right after this, he starts losing support and then loses everything.
Yeah, it starts falling apart for him. And literally the next song starts pulling it out for you.
Yep. So that was Cabinet Battle number 2. Join us again next week where a different panel will hope that Washington is on their side. Not the best segue. Goodbye, everybody.
Lafayette's a smart man. He'll be fine. And before he was your friend, he was mine. If we try to fight in every revolution in the world, we never stop. Where do we draw the line?
So quick-witted.
Alas, I admit it.
I bet you were quite a lawyer.
My defendants got acquitted.
Yeah. Well, someone ought to remind you.
What?
You're nothing without Washington behind you.
Hamilton.
Daddy's calling.